Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Let's BOGO. The Hoppin' Good sale at Designer Shoe Warehouse is on. Buy any pair of shoes in-store or online. Get a second qualifying pair 50% off. Yep, must-have sandals, sneakers, and more from brands you love are buy one, get one 50% off at DSW. But only for a limited time, so hop to it. Fill your basket and score BOGO 50% off at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back in another edition of the Norton Automotive Extra Point Show. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones here with you on a colder than I want it to be Wednesday. It snowed at like midnight.
Yeah, I had ice on my car this morning.
Hate it.
I didn't realize it either until I you know, backing out of the driveway. You know, you do the look back to see to make sure no one's coming. And I see the ice and I'm like, oh, what is that? What is that?
Yep.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
So, we can open the show with this. I'm a little bit of a hypocrite. I made fun of Josh yesterday for doing the no phone challenge at the Sabres game. Mostly about going to the Sabres game.
Yeah, mostly going there.
Where did I end up last night?
You're even wearing their merch.
This was on clearance.
That's fine. And it looks good.
A deal's a deal and it looks sharp.
I think it looks good.
I love the Sabres apparel. I hate that the team is so bad because all of the apparel always looks so fresh. Compared to Bill's apparel.
Yeah.
Like, I could look at Sabres attire and apparel and go, oh, that's fresh. Oh, that's fresh. I like that. I like that. Mm-hmm. With Bill's merch, I go, that's okay.
I need more team merch, by the way.
Yeah.
I have a lot of Texas stuff, purely just because a lot of people get me that for Christmas and
I'm guilty
birthdays.
Of buying too many quarter zips, and, well,
it's never a bad idea. I don't have a lot of Bills and Sabres stuff,
man.
It was
It was on the clearance rack, though. And I'm like, I'll take it. So
that's the way to do it.
That's the way to do it. Smart shopping, folks, even when the team is bad. I did see Josh at the game last night.
Good.
Because he texted me where he was sitting. I also stole Trevor Howard's seat for about a minute and 20 seconds.
It's all right. It's okay.
Because the third period had started. I went down to see them. I see Brian Mazurowski. I see Josh. I see our old friend Ryan Gates.
Nice, nice.
And then there's two seats next to Josh. I go, all right, so who's sitting here? He goes, I go, is anyone sitting here? And he goes, yeah, Trevor. Trevor's at the game too. He's just going and getting food probably. And then I see Trevor, as the period is starting, he comes on down and he's like at the row. And I'm like, hey, what's up, buddy? Apparently that means I got to go. The Sabres put a quick shot on net. And I'm like, all right, this is it. Trevor, hey, what's up? Quick little dap, and I'm out. So I like interviewed with nobody's business.
Good.
It was perfect. Except for the fact that the Sabres lost 4-0 to the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah. You said that was a pretty good game. It
was an entertaining game.
I'm checking out of this out of the season.
If you heard Brian or Paul on post game, it was a good game.
Okay.
Anthony Stolarz is 4-0-1 against the Buffalo Sabres with a going into last night, it was a 1.47 goals against average. I'm not going to look at it after a shutout.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what Buffalo did to Anthony Stolarz, but he took it personally.
He's been very, very good.
He's been good all year, mm-hmm. but like against the Sabres, like, all right, can we like relax? I had fun at the game. When you establish yourself as a friendly presence, like, hey, let's hate on each other, but let's do it in a fun way.
Right.
You could have a lot of fans with Toronto. You could have a lot of fun with Toronto fans. When you establish it as, hey, let's be friendly with the Jabs,
mm-hmm.
it's easy.
Oh, yeah.
Because you don't want to be that guy.
It does help, too. One team's winning the Atlantic. The other team's not in the playoffs.
But that team
not much
also has
talking that can happen.
But this team that is showing up on the road
mm-hmm.
and the fans traveling typically don't have success in this arena.
That's right. House of Horrors, all that. Oh, yeah.
But I've got a kid mean mugging me when I'm saying that Lukanen's making some nice saves. And I'm like, hey, this is what it's all about. Let's have some fun.
Just imagining a six-year-old just giving you just like
the death glare. Oh, he's turning around giving me death stares. Yeah. Like, this is what it's all about. It's supposed to be fun. I'm not going to ruin this for a kid. Let's get into it.
Right.
I'll do a minor beef with a six-year-old for funsies
mm-hmm.
as long as we establish it's fun.
Luca's making good saves. It's
the kid's sitting right in front of me, just turns around and is grilling me, and I'm like, all right, you know what? He wants to have some fun. Let's have some fun. Let's mess with him a little bit.
So with this, will you be attending the final game of the season on Thursday?
No.
Okay. Well, you said this like about the Toronto game yesterday.
Okay, but...
And then you went.
But tickets were $25. A rarity for that kind of game. Very packed arena still.
Good crowd.
Very good crowd. Decent amount of Buffalo fans there, too, that tried to get loud throughout the first two periods. Third period was a little bit of a different animal, but, you know, mm-hmm. it is what it is. You end up losing a game at some point. You don't lose 4-0 without a bad period. It was the third.
Yep.
But it was a good game. I had a good time. I found Josh without his cell phone.
There you go. He seemed to enjoy it. He seemed to have really, really enjoyed the process of just leaving
home. Took a picture from his seat for him.
Nice. Good. Good, good, good.
But yes, it was funny to sit in that seat for effectively a minute and 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And then, all right, I'm out of here.
There we go.
Because there's Trevor.
And I got to go.
I got to go. Apparently, those seats were from work.
Oh, yeah.
I got to look at my work email more.
You do. You do.
I really do.
There's usually some important stuff in there.
Yeah. Well, that's not important. It's just free tickets are free tickets.
Yeah. Important stuff. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is, of course, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We did just mention it there as well. Sabres have just one more game to wrap up another no playoff season. It is tomorrow at home against Philadelphia, another team that's kind of reeling here as well. Fired John Tortorella a few weeks ago. They are kind of nowhere. Matvei Michkov might be really good, though, in the future. Although, with that being said, we won't spend too much time on hockey as we are just under a week away from the start of the NFL draft.
We're a week away. I'm so ready.
Well, no, we're a week away tomorrow. Just under a week away. Just over a week away.
Semantics.
Talked trading ideas yesterday, the idea of trading down, trading up, staying pat, what have you. Today, I want to talk about something that I have to credit Mike Schopp of the afternoon for kind of bringing this idea up for me. Because it's a player I haven't thought about for a long time, really, because I just assumed he'd be gone.
You think he's too good of a prospect.
And that's Luther Burden, the wide receiver out of Missouri. I know we talked with Jeremy and Joe as they were leaving here. They kind of had talked about Burden as well. And the reason why I want to talk about him, it's both Burden, but it's also the conversations we've had about the defensive players in this draft class, which is, well, there's depth. Some of these guys are going to be available in round two. probably even at the positions you're already picking around to. You don't necessarily have to move up to maybe go get a Tylek Williams, the defensive tackle out of Ohio State, or one of these cornerbacks, maybe a Siobhan Revelle after a torn ACL out of
ECU. Or an Alfred Collins late in the second.
Right? There's a number of players they could go, and we've mentioned it on specifically the interior defensive line. It's much more the idea of getting someone to fill space, be a space eater to help out Ed Oliver and potentially even help out the edge guys in Rousseau, Bosa, Epinesa, because you take double teams away from them as well, having to fill those gaps, having to take care of Ed Oliver, who just two seasons ago had 9.5 sacks from
also
the defensive tackle
spot. Also absorb
blockers
for your linebackers in the run game.
Yep. So that's always kind of been more the I guess, the encompassing thought with the quote-unquote beef wagon. But we really haven't spent too much time on early wide receivers, and I'd argue the Bills haven't either with who they've brought in.
Yeah, their pre-draft visits, it is something to where I remember someone mentioning in the chat for the morning show of like, it doesn't always dictate where they're going to go with things. It does show their hand on when they plan to attack on what. It's not going to be the player specifically sometimes, but it is also a numbers game.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have 30 visits. Even if you use all 10 picks, that's still only a third of them.
Yep.
For me, it shows when they're planning on this sort of move.
Mm-hmm.
But the big board also can be reactionary. Something we talked about yesterday. Context matters.
Mm-hmm.
And to this, if Luther Burden's hanging around at 30, he becomes the face of another ideal within draft strategy, draft... what's the word? Like, other than strategy, I'm trying to think of like the mindsets, so to say. It's another ideal. Can you afford a luxury pick? Is Luther Burden at 30 a luxury pick considering your needs on defense?
I like that idea because everywhere I look in terms of like, what are these teams' draft needs? You know, a bunch of guys will do it for every team. It's funny with the Bills. We all know defensive tackle, cornerback, but I think a lot of Bills fans would argue edge is still up there even after signing Bosa and some of their other defensive signings. Safety has been brought up a lot, especially with the idea of Nick Emmanuel, Malachi Starks. You've brought up Xavier Watts as well, guy out of Notre Dame potentially.
Mm-hmm.
The third need I always see is wide receiver. Now, Sal's brought up also, and I know Nate has, is sort of like, well, who's getting moved down? Because if you draft a guy in the first or maybe even second round, you're seeing somebody move down the pecking order likely.
Right.
The rookie will normally slot in early, and then you kind of figure it out as you go through camp, rookie camp, and OTAs, what have you. But if a guy like a Luther Burden is available, someone who this time last year, not in the 2024 draft, but thinking ahead to the 25 draft, was a consensus top 15 talent. Number one wide receiver, don't even think about it, he's gone. 6 foot, 200 pounds, very quick, and is putting up production at Missouri.
Yeah.
The likes of which they have not seen in a long time. And then he has a bit of a down year. And I'm being kind when I say a bit of a down year. His sophomore year, 13 games played, 86 catches, just over 1,200 yards, and 9 touchdowns. His average yards per reception, by the way, was 14.1. This year, with a change in quarterbacks, injuries, bad play overall from the quarterback position, he drops down to 61 catches in 12 games played, 676 yards, and 6 touchdowns. His yards per game, ultimately with that, drops from 93.2 to 56.3. There is a steep decline in basically all of his statistics. But those freshman year, where he came in and was pretty useful right away, and then sophomore year, the immediate jump up to what he was, showed how good of a player he is. Then the down spin in this past year, his junior year.
So I'm looking up draft profiles on Luther Burden, and in particular with him, I'm starting to wonder why there's a perceived fall in his draft stock. I think he is a top two receiver in this draft class. It's between him and McMillan to me.
Mm-hmm.
An NFC scout saying, I think he got bored with that offense. His playing style is like Jerry Jeudy with Amon-Ra St. Brown's hands and toughness.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of sounds like still a legitimate prospect to me that should go in the first round.
Yeah.
Like you could call it like character concerns, quote unquote. I look at it as he knows that this offense is bad. He knows that this quarterback is bad.
And there was probably, if we're going off if he got bored in this offense and maybe there's the character concerns, there's maybe the buyer's remorse of...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. Because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I should hit the transfer portal.
Yes.
In the college football landscape we're in now, could have gone somewhere where there's a much better quarterback.
Because a player could look bored, and what it really is like maybe he's like straight up depressed that he didn't hit the transfer portal.
Yeah, where he's seeing his last season in college go up in flames. And potentially, as now we're seeing, his millions of dollars go down the drains because he decided to stay at Missouri.
I would be sad too.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. With how active the transfer portal is these days, yeah, it could be that.
Yep.
He's a big yards after catch guy. He has the natural instincts for it. He has top end speed. Again, to hear a scout saying he's got the catching and the toughness of Amon-Ra St. Brown, that tells you there's also tenacity there. So that might just be Luther Burden being human.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Bills can be benefactors of that, sign me up. Luther Burden, though, remains the face of an ideal here of, can they afford a luxury pick? Something that you don't really see them taking within round one.
Right.
And that extends to Malachi Starks and Pickham and Worry at safety. When you know there's big needs, particularly right now at cornerback, but how much of it is the draft board going to fall in your favor?
Yeah, and for
if
me,
if Burden's available, there might have been a run on corners already at the late end of the first round.
Defensive tackles as well, corner, any of those positions. For me, my thing has been, and I said it yesterday, I want talented players. I want elite players. Is their biggest needs on defense? Yes. But you do have 2 second-round picks in positions that I think you can get very good, immediately playable talent in the second round. I've talked a lot about cornerback value. I don't love the idea of going a corner in round one because I think you can get a starting caliber corner, especially in McDermott and his defensive system. I think you can get a starting corner in rounds 2, 3, 4. Hell, they got one in rounds 6 and 7. They've been fine. Now, do you want an elite guy? Sure. But that doesn't mean I have to force that pick. And that was, and that's a big talking point too when going back to Kyer Elam when he was picked. In a way, the Bills sort of forced a cornerback pick. McDuffie goes, but they still have to draft somebody, and they go Elam. Like you mentioned, a cornerback run goes. Do we really want to see the Bills draft the fourth or fifth corner off the board in round one instead of maybe going the third receiver, a guy who, if he had left Missouri,
probably
likely not there.
Probably goes technically second.
Yeah, it's ultimately not there.
Because Travis Hunter exists.
And along with that, and it's something that we've brought up, you know, sparingly, and we talked about it kind of in our pre-draft or our pre-show kind of talk. The Bills have set themselves up perfectly to be that team that may be a guy with a slight character issue. I do want to preface that slight character issue. I look at someone like Isaiah Bond with everything that's going off the field with him, the sexual misconduct stuff that seems to be circling around him. That's not a slight character issue. I also talk a lot about the Georgia stuff that has happened with automobiles. And seemingly every offseason there's something going on with that program. Those are not slight character concerns. If Burden's character concern is he looked bored on a bad team, I'm good.
That's, as a matter of fact, super relatable.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
That's I hate my job right now, and like it makes me sad.
Yeah, and as a 21-year-old, I can look past it.
As a 30-year-old, right? You can look at someone and go, hey, man, are you all right? You look like you're not very engaged mm-hmm. these days. And the next thing you know, happy hour happens, and you are having a big old conversation with your coworker or your friend, and it's like, damn, yep. Now I get it.
And so with that, you add him to an offense that does have a need at receiver still. It does. They have bodies in there, but I don't think anyone, even if you're a huge Josh Palmer guy and a huge Keon Coleman guy, and a massive Khalil Shakir fan. No one's sitting here going, they're done. They don't need to add any more weapons. If you were to add Luther Burden, Josh Allen arguably might be the perfect guy at quarterback to bring in a rookie receiver who maybe was frustrated by his role at Missouri. He routinely puts up career years for receivers in the NFL who have not been particularly productive. Not always. Trent Sherfield. Deontay Hardy, there's been misses, but a guy coming out with high-end first-round talent that just had a low productive final year of college, I get excited by that. And also, let's not act like this is like a new thing where a guy doesn't have a super productive final year in college and ends up being great in the NFL. Dan Marino, if we want to go all the way back to the 80s, had more interceptions than touchdowns in his final year at Pitt. Didn't seem to matter. Josh Allen had a far less productive final season at Wyoming than the year prior when he was first kind of thrown onto the scene, and it worked out fine. He went to a good culture, a good organization that was able to allow him to marinate and become great. Burden is not that raw prospect. He would come in likely right away and immediately would be somebody that we would hear Sal come on during, you know, the morning show, the afternoon show here and go, he's popping at rookie camp. We're hearing good things about him. Come training camp. Hey, he's really – that's the kind of player Burden is. And to your point, you know, can they afford a luxury pick? To me, absolutely. You need elite players.
Not even that you need elite players. You can also afford that luxury pick because of your quarterback.
Because of your quarterback.
And if it's a player, especially when you're looking at a luxury pick, it's a player to help that quarterback.
Mm-hmm. And ultimately
– typically –
and ultimately, you look at Baltimore. We brought this up. Kyle Hamilton. Did the Baltimore Ravens need a safety when they took him? Not necessarily.
No, not at that time, really.
But he was the best player on the board. And Baltimore went, talent, done, cool, yeah. Bring him in. And he saved their defense this year. He's been a great player almost from the word go. Yeah. And he saved their defense this year and ultimately saved their year. They looked dreadful on defense.
He's really saved their defense. Ever since he showed up.
Really, ever since he has shown up. And ultimately, let's say going into the weekend. All right, just argument's sake, they take Burden at 30. But going into the weekend, the Bills also added Tylek Williams, Siobhan Revelle, or Alfred Collins and Siobhan Revelle, or one of these other corners that they brought in on a visit.
If you give me a draft class that features Luther Burden, a big, stocky defensive tackle, and a cornerback in your first two rounds, Do you know how giddy I am Friday night?
Mm-hmm.
And we're heading into round three. Maybe they have a pick. Maybe they don't. Like, for the rest of the night, I am cloud nine in it.
Yep.
Like, we are hanging out and we're just having a great time.
Two guys they brought in for corners as well, Benjamin Morrison or Darian Porter.
I'm a huge Benjamin Morrison fan at this point. In the second round, I think he is going to be a great value addition.
Mm-hmm.
I think Xavier Watts, of course, in round two is a great idea. There's a lot to it. Like Ravel, you mentioned, he is a mystery of where he could go. Nate would be happy with them running that card up at 30.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many options defensively that that's why like the trade down talk was something that we said yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Burden becomes an interesting wrinkle in that because now you're hearing, and do remember, we are now approaching a week from the draft. Do not believe anything that's being said at this point. But unless you hear it consistently. Mm-hmm. But if you hear a random thing like, hey, Luther Burden might be available in round two. Okay. I'm going to believe you, but like pick 33 is also still round two.
Yeah, you look at the – we mentioned this. You look at the early teams for round two, Tennessee could really use a receiver.
And they don't have many picks in the top 100. As a matter of fact, they only have two, number one and number 35.
New England, after a free agency that saw them will not even have a shot at guys like T. Higgins and Darius Slayton.
But they bring in Stephon Diggs. Tell me that a 1-2 of Diggs and Burden is not a good idea for Drake May, and I will call you a liar.
Mm-hmm. The Giants as well.
Giants.
If they really want to kind of set themselves up, if they got a quarterback in the first pick or what have you.
Say they take Sanders at 3.
Mm-hmm.
They complement it further with then you have a receiving core of Neighbors, Slayton.
And Burden.
And Burden. That's a great trio for Shedeur Sanders to be able to thrive with.
Mm-hmm. I also look at a team like, right at the end of the first round, Kansas City. What is going to happen with Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy? Rice, I feel like we are just waiting on the announcement that he's been suspended however many games. Worthy, maybe not.
Let me preface this real quick, too. If the Chiefs add Burden, I'm not mad. Mostly because the only way I'm mad about the Kansas City Chiefs is if they take like some like offensive tackle prospect that fell for no reason.
Well, it's not a great offensive tackle class anyways. So I think that's ultimately where their pick is going to
their
be.
Their biggest need is offensive line.
Yeah.
So if they, oh no, you took another wide receiver. Patrick Mahomes is going to be running for his life.
And we saw how that went in the Super Bowl, which is if you can get pressure on him, it doesn't really matter how fast some of these guys are going to
open. He's still a quarterback in the National Football League. If you hit him, he is like everybody else.
Yep. 803-0550, the number to call. Talking ideas here for the draft. Could the Bills afford a luxury pick at the end of round one if it happened to be on the offense? Luther Burden is sort of that idea. But any other receiver, Matthew Golden, available at 30. Would the Bills maybe do it? Love to hear your thoughts again. 803-0550, the number two call. Before we hit our first time out, do want to let you know to join us in the fight against cancer by riding with Bulldog and WGR's Ryan for Roswell team on Saturday, June 28th. Once you join our team, you'll receive an email to pick up your team t-shirt and water bottle at Tom's Pro Bikes on Walden Avenue in Lancaster. Not a rider? You can still support the cause by donating to our team and helping us reach our goal. Visit WGR550.com for details. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
Well, I'm not naming top five. I'm naming five head coaches I like. Number one, Brian Callahan. Number two, Stefanski. Number three, Brian Daboll. Number four,
I think I'm starting to see the
pattern. Pete Carroll. Number five, Aaron Glenn.
Cam Ward, shameless.
Number one coach, Brian Callahan. That man is already Titans coded. He's got the ugly jersey already.
So I want to get this up too because there was a number of other things he talked about in this Fortnite stream. It's a video game if you've not heard about it. So there we hear.
Actually, hang on. Let's make that a tease real quick.
Oh, to talk more about what he said?
Yes. But we are fully in draft mode. And speaking of which, Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase, they are taking over Resurgence Brewing for the ultimate draft night party on Thursday, April 24th, round one of the NFL draft at 7 p.m. So if you're on your way there, by the way, you can hear me, Zach, and Nate on your radio before you get to Resurgence Brewing. Tickets are $45 and include pizza and all-you-can-drink beer and well drinks, as well as enjoying live analysis, huge TVs, and crystal clear sound so that you don't miss a pick. Plus, there are local vendors and giveaways all night, including a giveaway of an all-inclusive fantasy football party for 12 at Resurgence Brewery. Brewing courtesy of Resurgence. No purchase necessary for that giveaway. Get your tickets for the draft party at resurgencebrewing.com.
I really do enjoy how shameless Cam Ward was about this.
Oh my God.
I love it so much.
He's already got his number picked.
Oh, they've got the jersey made.
Yeah.
The stores in Nashville are just waiting to get the go ahead.
It's stitched on.
Oh man.
Because what else does he say in this Fortnite stream?
Treylon Burks, a top four wide receiver.
All right.
Tony Pollard, Tajay Spears, top four running backs. Already heard Coach Callahan, the best coach in the NFL. Calvin Ridley, better than A.J. Brown.
A.J.
Brown's a dog, but he's no Calvin Ridley.
He is speaking like he's already a member of the team, and I believe him. Like, there's a lot of smokescreen season. That is not one of them.
No, I don't know if I can remember, and I'm laughing about it. I'm, you know, good
for, he's having fun with
good,
it.
Good
though.
For Ward. We've known for quite a while now that he was going to the Titans. I don't even remember guys like Trevor Lawrence, who we knew was going one. Depending on who got the number one overall pick, being this shameless about like, yeah, Urban Meyer, best coach ever. Kind of I don't remember any of
these
guys
a difference.
Doing that.
Like. We didn't know Meyer was going to be a travesty in his 1 year in Jacksonville.
No, but
so
like,
he actually would have. There would actually be some credence to that,
right? But like Lawrence, like, I don't remember
nobody saying
anything.
That about Brian Callahan ever.
Treylon Burks, the guy's barely on the team. You do not have to blow smoke.
Yeah,
he's
like,
barely there.
He might be like a cut down day candidate at the end of like the preseason.
Like this thing, I feel like the Titans called him afterwards and go, "Hey, you're rubbing it on a bit too much. You can pull back a little bit. You can pull back, like Treylon. You can pull back."
Like anyone trying to put
we
betting,
like Tajay Spears, but come on.
Like, anyone trying like to put betting odds on like anything being different, number one overall,
man.
Like the bookies are like, well, there goes that.
Yeah, there's no betting on
there
the first
goes making
pick.
Money on the first overall pick.
Oh man,
so ready for anyone that gambles out there? You know how we always say the gamble responsibly part. Gambling responsibly means do not put any money on anything about the first overall pick because it's going to be Cam Ward.
I will tell you though, if
don't
like,
do it.
If they stunned everybody and take like Travis Hunter, Ward would have like a legitimate grievance. Be like, I sold my soul for. I said Treylon Burks is a top four receiver.
Ready? That'd be great. It's like as a like Adam Schefter comes on. Why they didn't take Cam Ward? Actually, it's because he said that Tajay Spears was a top four running back. It's because he said that Treylon Burks was going to be a wide receiver on this team. They cut him right now, by the way.
It's just like, oh,
just
man.
For association.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. I love it. I can't wait for the draft to start. In all seriousness, what pick do you think like the draft, quote-unquote, really begins? Like, we know Ward's going
ready?
One.
It's simple. It starts at two.
Yeah, you think it's as early
really
as two? Okay.
Really is, what's Cleveland going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to take Travis Hunter? And if they don't, why? The easy answer is you're the Browns, and of course, bad decisions are something that is in your blood.
Well, I mean, they did have a visit with Abdul Carter.
You can have a visit with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to necessarily say that that is like Abdul Carter is worthy of being taken, but you handed Myles Garrett a bunch of money.
Mm-hmm.
Your quarterback is Kenny Pickett. Which means that Travis Hunter is going to have to sometimes play corner while he's taking snaps at wide receiver.
Yeah. Oof.
And if it's not Pickett.
I don't want him to be a Brown. I don't. I love watching Hunter. And I don't want him to be like, this is bad because the Bills were this for a long time. I get it. I don't want him to just be lost in Cleveland. Like, we all kind of forget about him. Mm-hmm. They're not on national TV. And like, only Browns fans. Like, no, I think he's going to be I think he's a yes. generational type prospect. With how good he is,
But the thing is, the league is also fun when the Browns are also good.
That's right. That's right. I just don't think they will be. I don't think Hunter's
going
to move them that much forward to being good.
But it is. Do you take the easy pick or not? And Cleveland, well, they surprise us in a lot of ways, a lot of times, with the answer of no.
And it's sort of in the same spot of the Bills where, you know, once you have the quarterback figured out, you can really argue yourself of just take the best player available. You have needs on defense, take the best player on defense, right? Or you have needs on offense, take the best player on offense. It's sort of the same with like teams that are in the top five. If you sort of quote unquote already have your quarterback or the quarterback class isn't very good, it just becomes take the best player. Ward is, I think, unquestionably the best quarterback in this class and arguably a pretty darn good prospect that could really help out Tennessee. Yeah, once you get to Cleveland, the answer really should be you take best player available, Travis Hunter. And then over with, you have a pro player, you have a hope of an all-pro player.
Number three already has a lot more questions to it than there should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do they take Sanders? If Hunter falls, that's got to be the shoe-in, right? Or do they go in a different direction? Do they just decide, no, we're just going to take Mason Graham right here? And then either Carter or Hunter falls for some strange reason.
Mm-hmm.
New England at four. There are plenty of different options. Someone might fall if, for example, Sanders is grabbed. Then there's Hunter or Carter available for you at four. And then all of a sudden, the Joe Milton game does not hurt the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
But say it goes chalk and Hunter and Carter go 2-3 in whatever order. Do they take Will Campbell? Offensive tackle.
Yeah.
Instead of Mason Graham.
Yep.
I think they should. Cleveland really does start everything off. And it's probably why they made that terrible draft day movie based off of Cleveland. Because the draft typically does start with wherever Cleveland starts up.
I'm going to watch that again. So I believe I've said it on air. I've not watched Moneyball yet this year. I typically watch it either opening day or the week.
Now it's too late.
Day. No, well, it's not just too late. The Angels started the season off good. So I've just avoided it. This, though, I watch draft day. I have for the last five draft years on draft day. I typically don't work the morning of draft day, so I get up early. I watch it. I'm into work. I'm in a chipper mood. I'm ready to go. The movie is terrible.
We had a great day.
I love it so much. It is such a bad movie, and I get so much love out of it. I really do.
Yeah.
It's so bad. I'm also somebody that believes Kevin Costner can't act, so I enjoy laughing at him with that.
You would believe that.
I would believe that. But we had a great day.
It's one of my favorite lines of that movie.
It's so good. Oh, I can't wait to watch it. I can't wait.
It's so ironically, it just would never be true.
No,
that would never happen.
I love that. Sonny's still getting fired.
Yeah.
He's still gone.
Oh, my God. Easily.
They show up and they go, what was this all for? You're gone. You're done. You're done. The Seattle guy, gone.
Oh, my God. Super fired.
Bo Callahan's agent, fired. There's a number of people. That day ends in blood. It's not a good day.
No, yeah.
There's a lot of people fired.
The Seattle guy's fired into the sun.
Gone.
It's bad.
Gone.
I love that Jason Whitlock plays the assistant GM there.
That's right. He does.
He's as much of a fool as he always projects to be.
Tom Welling out of nowhere is acting again. He's the Cleveland quarterback. Out of nowhere.
And there's so much wrong with that movie. And... ready? You can watch it all you want to be in a chipper mood. For me, it's just, bad movies are bad movies. But I also get it. It kind of gets you in that mood of like, all right, we're having a draft day. Let's go.
Right. That's the thing. Moneyball I watch because I think it's genuinely a phenomenal movie. It is my favorite sports movie of all time.
It's kind of a set the tone.
Yeah.
And draft day, even if it's bad, can still set the tone.
Right.
Like you want to have... an exciting day. You want to have trades involving mm-hmm. your team. You want some general manager on the hardest of drugs.
Yeah. I want insanity. I will
somewhere
tell you.
In the draft. It doesn't have to be your team, but you want a general manager to have had himself a great night the night before on accident.
Oh, I miss Mike Mayock on the Raiders. Oh, I miss Mike Mayock on the Raiders so bad.
Walk in here and take Cleveland Farrell at fourth overall.
Hell yeah, baby. I mentioned this yesterday. I can't really laugh at any GMs anymore. I laughed a lot at the Lions a few years ago, and that worked.
No. There are still plenty of general managers that you can laugh at, and there are still plenty of picks that you would be able to say they're playing Halo Reach.
Love it.
I have that meme ready. To go. It's up there in the archives of the memes I have on my phone basically I took a screenshot of it just so I have it up near the top mm-hmm. again, and then you crop it and everything yep. like that. So it's like, so now if there's a reach that happens,
oh yeah,
on the Twitter feed, it is just going to be Halo Reach.
I will say,
with the team name.
Two other things on this. One, the other thing I get from watching Draft Day, I love the fact that Buffalo could get a draft. They could host it. I have somewhat enjoyed the different cities getting a draft. Man, do I miss Radio City Music Hall.
Yes.
Being in New York. And like that to me is still
It's the iconic.
Draft. Yeah. And so I do somewhat miss that, you know, the red carpet walking in and the green room is exactly how you always picture it's the green room.
Yes.
You know, and you had the team still there. And,
it's
and
good
all the
that
helmets.
Other cities are getting shine, but at the same time, it is.
I miss it.
It is, despite the fact that no team plays in New York City. It is iconic there in New York City.
Yep. And the other thing, as much as I'll watch Draft Day on Draft Day, I also love, and you can do it on YouTube. I think the NFL like YouTube page has them. You can watch like old first rounds. One of my favorite things to do is like to go back to those. And I'm not from the 80s or 90s. I go back to the 2000s drafts and I like to see like how, you know, Mike Mack is talking about a certain player when you're like, oh, he flamed out immediately or like you're trashing this guy and he was a stud, you know, whatever it is. I love watching old drafts leading up to the current year's draft. It's so much fun.
One of my favorites was, I do believe it was the Jimmy Clausen draft.
Oh, the Jimmy Clausen draft.
And the Bills take C.J. Spiller in that one.
Yeah.
And Mel Kiper is on his – he's on a bender about Jimmy Clausen saying that I will quit this job if Jimmy Clausen's not a starting quarterback in the National Football League. And, like, he is that adamant about this guy. When I'm still just, like, relative – I'm a kid
mm-hmm.
in a sense of – looking at these players, and I'm like, no, that dude kind of stinks. Golden Tate made him.
Bills passed on him twice, by the way.
Bills passed on him twice. Carolina takes him. And he's garbage.
Round two, pick number 48. Yeah, he leads one of the worst NFL offenses ever at the time, and then they draft Cam Newton the year later. That draft, by the way, Bradford goes one. This is 2010.
Oh, God.
Ndamukong Suh out of Nebraska. I know he developed into, like, you know, the dirty player image. He ultimately did still have a very successful NFL career.
He had a very good career.
He was unreal at Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable at Nebraska. Gerald McCoy, also out of, man, four out of the first three picks, Oklahoma. Gerald McCoy goes to Tampa.
Did your numbers just number wrong?
Three out of the first four?
You said four out of the first three.
Oh, excuse me. Three out of the first four are Oklahoma. Bradford, McCoy, Trent Williams. Eric Berry goes to Kansas City.
Eric Berry.
Joe Hayden goes to Cleveland. You brought up C.J. Spiller at nine when they already had Fred Jackson. Just will never understand
and
that
Marshawn.
Pick.
And Marshawn. They traded
Marshawn
him.
Is still there.
They trade him that day.
My goodness, I will never understand that pick.
Not that day, the day after.
I liked Spiller, too. I just will never understand that pick.
You want to talk about a luxury good.
This is the year Dez Bryant goes to Dallas at 24. 2010 is not bad.
It's actually really good. That's a good day.
That's a good day. One of my favorite drafts is 2011.
And I think that, you know, one of the things I think that on Saturday I'm going to have me and Joe bring up is, like, what's one of your favorite draft memories?
Mm-hmm. I know One Bills Live has touched on that.
Yeah.
Me and Bulldog were talking off air yesterday. You know what's funny about that? Most of my draft memories, like vivid
they're
ones.
They're probably not good.
They're not.
My biggest draft memory is I threw a pizza at my friend's TV
mm-hmm.
when the Bills took Aaron Maven.
Oh,
Brian Arakpo was on the board still, and I was like, I need this guy
yep.
out of Texas.
Yeah.
And they take Maven, and I threw the only thing I had in my hand. It was a Little Caesars pizza.
Slice or an
it was
actual
a slice.
Pizza?
Oh, if I threw okay. a box...
I was going to say, I was like, that's egregious.
TV is egregious.
If you're at a draft party and just pick up that box and whip it, that's rough.
That's a waste of $5, Derek. Come on.
It's a waste of $5 and a negative invite the next year.
Yeah.
not happening.
You got to, you know, sit in the dog cage.
My buddy Jake and
point.
I, we would watch the draft every year, and mm-hmm. that didn't stop after I threw a TV, threw a pizza at a television. Not a television at a pizza. That would be different.
803-0550, the number to call. I'll share my draft story after a quick timeout, but before we do that, tune in to Shope and the Bulldog for our annual pre-draft special tomorrow, Thursday, April 17th, from 4 p.m. to 6:30 p.m., streaming live on YouTube. We'll bring you the latest insights and mock draft predictions, insider information, and guest appearances from Jeremy White, Joe DiBiase, Nate Geary, and Sal Capaccio. Show is presented by your Upstate Honda dealers. Visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today for excellent deals on the entire Honda lineup, including the all-new Honda Passport. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Real quick segment here, and then we'll get back to, you know, the idea of drafting a luxury. Can the Bills really afford it? Best player available?
We got a couple responses of your tweets on that, so yeah. We'll read those as well.
We'll get to those quick. But, Derek, you shared your...
one of those.
Not fondest draft memory, but maybe...
Oh, it's a fond draft memory. It's a negative reaction.
Yeah, I have discovered my quote-unquote favorite or most memorable draft memories, you know, outside of working here the last few years, have been negative, and so mine is the 2014 draft.
So before you go on, knowing that, like, the thing about it being a fond draft memory also is not just because of, like, I threw a pizza at my friend's TV.
Mm-hmm.
It is the fact that every year, me and my buddy, we would just,
right,
no matter whose place it was going to be, we would alternate between who would host it. But the other person's coming in with a stack of hot and readies.
I love that. And I love that was like the specific thing.
Yeah.
We're going to change the spot.
Because Big Bro and I, we would eat a hot and ready pizza by ourselves. Like a whole one.
I miss being 18. Yeah, I could do that.
Yeah.
I can't do that anymore. I cannot do that anymore.
I can only have like two slices of a pizza now and I'm done.
But so I was either 15 or I just turned 16. My birthday typically falls on the draft. It doesn't this year, but it typically does. So I either was 15 or just turned 16. So me and my dad were driving home from swim practice. I swam for 10 years of my life. And so we're driving home and I flew out of practice. It ended at 8. The draft started at 8. Well, Papa's got to get home. I got to see
Papa's
the draft.
Got to get home.
And I do remember Clowney goes 1. Blake Bortles went to Jacksonville, and I remember howling at that. Found that hysterical. But then immediately after that, I'll never forget, we weren't really rushing home per se to see the Bills pick. The Bills were picking at 8, and I wasn't very far from my home. And when pick 4 is up, we're at the Galleria Mall. I live about 5 minutes from there, so it's not too far. I'll never forget listening to GR for draft coverage. Bills are traded up to 4. I was a Watkins and a Khalil Mack guy. I was fine with either of them. I was telling myself that as the draft happens. Watkins, they have EJ Manuel. They need to help him out. Khalil Mack, he's a UB stud who's a top 10 talent. It's incredible. The marriage would be perfect. And I'll never forget the Watkins pick happening. I get excited. Yeah, it's one of them that I wanted. And the immediate crushing weight on me of, no, you really wanted Mack more. And I was so crushed that they didn't take Mack. I didn't realize I truly had a preference until the pick came in and it wasn't Mack.
The lies we tell ourselves.
And I was like, oh, no, Watkins better hit. It was immediate.
That's an example of the lies we tell ourselves.
Oh, man, I'll never forget that. That I was just like, oh. And I actually
had a 1 and 2 here.
Mm-hmm. I was crushed. Watkins ultimately was, I fell right in love with him. I will never forget Sal's tweet of Watkins having a one-handed catch at training camp. And I was like, okay, that's what I'm talking about right there. Yeah.
No, sadness, you were not justified.
You were wrong. But, that night hurt. And I still, it's weird that I remember it so vividly to this day. 803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer. We're going to jump back into the Luther Burden / best player available talk after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.